This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
It comes out of the Gospel of Luke. Although it is Transfiguration Sunday, I'll be reading a different verse. This comes from chapter 14, verses 28 through 35. And so hear now the word of God. If one of you wanted to build a tower, wouldn't you first sit down and calculate the cost to determine whether you have enough money to complete it? Otherwise, when you have laid the foundation but couldn't finish the tower, all who see it will begin to belittle you. They will say, "Here's the person who began construction and couldn't complete it." Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether his 10,000 soldiers could go up against the 20,000 coming against him? And if he didn't think he could win, he would send a representative to discuss terms of peace while his enemy was still a long way off. In the same way, none of you who are unwilling to give up all of your possessions can be my disciples. Salt is good. But if salt loses its flavor, how will it become salty again? It has no value, neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. People throw it away. Whoever has ears to hear should pay attention. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. So every year I deliver what I call the State of the Church sermon. I usually do it early in the year, and sometimes it's close to the State of the Union, maybe sometimes not necessarily. But it's a time where you might hear me give one of those types of sermons. And so if this is your first time, just let me tell you what I hope your takeaway is. First and foremost, my goal is to paint a picture of how God has been moving and working in us and through us as a church this past year. I'm going to highlight some specific things that I've witnessed God move in the people of our church and the decisions that we as a church have made. And I hope that I can push the church forward and prepare you all for what I see coming up this year. And I hope that you find this sermon to be, first off, encouraging, but then also a call to action. Truthfully, I want you to leave today just, you know, excited about the work that is happening here at the church, to be pumped up or spirit-filled with what God is doing in the life of Milford Hills United Methodist Church. Because I have seen God being very busy in the life of this congregation. And I hope and pray that you too have seen places where God is pushing us, guiding us, and using us to make a difference in our community and our world. 2023 has been a rough year for our denomination. We have gone through a lot of disaffiliations. 15% of the congregations within our own conference, the Western North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church, disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church. You may see some of those who have used duct tape or black tape now to block out the cross and flames and the word united, and now their church just simply says, whatever Methodist church. These congregations that made up the 15% of our conference made up 14% of our worshiping population or worship attendance each week. The loss of these congregations and the impact of the entire disaffiliation process is still being figured out. Our annual conference is looking into ways to continue to grow from this moment and come together to continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The disaffiliation process was created during the special called 2019 General Conference. That is now, it's over, and we're ready to move on. We saw how congregations were ready to move forward because 100 churches within our conference became lighthouse congregations. We are one of those 100 congregations that we made it known that we are staying United Methodist and we are a safe place for people to come and know that we are not going to vote or do anything like that that they may have experienced at another church. We haven't hit smooth sailing yet, though. We do have a general conference coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, from April 23rd to May 3rd. This spring, an equal number of lay and clergy from all the different places around the world will come to Charlotte for the general conference. 130 countries will send equal lay and clergy representatives. We do this every 4 years, and an easy way to remember this, it's the same four-year cycle as we have the Summer Olympics and if we vote for a president. The General Conference is the main body of our denomination, and they are the only body that can change the Book of Discipline. The last time we met for a full General Conference was 2016. We had the special one in 2019, but that was only to cover specific things, and we were planning to meet in 2020, but then COVID hit. It made it impossible to bring all those people from all those countries into one place. We tried and a couple of times in those between those 4 years, but we are they decided, you know what, we're just going to concentrate on 2024. So we need to pray for our delegates because they not only have stuff from 2019, but also 2020 and stuff from 2024 to figure out and process. I pray for those delegates because a friend of mine has paperwork like this big that he has to read and plow through to figure out what is happening and what people are asking. And I'll be honest, I don't know what is going to happen in just a few months, just in our backyard. I've been in ministry long enough to realize that I cannot predict what happens in General Conference or what the Judicial Council will say about the things that are voted on in General Conference. And although I don't know what will happen for sure, here is what I can tell you, and I do know. Milford Hills United Methodist Church will still be here in May and June and July and moving forward. We did not let the noise of disaffiliation distract us from our mission. We did not let COVID slow down our ministries, and we learned to change and transform, which allowed us to come out of COVID with a purpose and momentum. So whatever happens in the Queen City this spring, we will deal with it, but we will also continue to move forward. It won't change our mission and our vision that we have been working on and towards. Transformation has been a key word for these last few years. And so just as a reminder, in the fall of 2020, the church council agreed to move forward in the transformation journey, which our district superintendent nominated our congregation to go through. We have been through this journey ever since, and it has brought a lot to our congregation. The first recommendation of the four that we started with was both and worship. And that helped us improve not only our tools, such as cameras and computers and last week, because everyone says they can hear me a lot better, our speakers, but also how we connect with people online for those who are worshiping with us through computers and smart TVs. After that recommendation, we moved into another one about community listening. We tried to understand what our congregation and our community desired us to focus on. And after interviewing numerous community leaders and groups and ministries, we learned about three focus areas that was kind of bubbling up. To focus on youth, children, and young adults, mental health and substance abuse, and racial reconciliation were the areas that kept being repeated in the different people we interviewed and within our congregation. The vast majority wanted us, not only here in our church, but also in our neighbors just outside our building, wanted us to focus on children, youth, and young adults. And so we took that calling and look for ways to build connections with children, youth, and young adults. And we stepped out in faith 2 years ago and became a site for WinShape. We learned a lot from that first year of WinShape about what that actually means and what that means for us. And it was great to have our campus filled with 100 elementary-aged children. The church rallied around this camp, and last summer we hosted it again. We had more volunteers in the first year. The week ran so much smoother because we learned a lot of what to do and how to do it. We connected with communities and schools and Salisbury Pediatric and a couple other places to help find and source some children, our underserved children in our area with full scholarships so they could come and attend something that they would never have the chance to experience. We have countless stories of students saying how amazing their time was last summer and how they wish that that week was every single week, every week during the summer, because they had so much fun. But then our hearts broke a little bit. We were disappointed when Windshape downsized their summer crew and thus had to downsize the number of camps they offered, and we were on their cut list. However, we put our heads together and came up with another option. I reached out to Mount Shepherd Retreat Center, Nashboro. It's one of our United Methodist camps within our conference. And we started to have some conversations about what it would be like to hold a day camp here on our campus using the staff and our volunteer, or the staff from Mount Shepherd and their expertise, along with the infrastructure of and our past day camp experience, and the church who has a passion to reaching out for children in our community. So we're still in the planning process, but it looks like July 29th. Through August 2nd, will be the site to host what we are calling Camp in the City. We want every child to experience summer camp, and we're going to work hard to bring a summer camp experience to Salisbury for kids who are currently in kindergarten through fifth grade. We're still working on the details. We have a meeting at Mount Shepherd tomorrow, but save the date on your calendar, July 29th through August 2nd. It should be an incredible week. It'll require a little bit more from us because Windshape's not bringing all their stuff, so we're going to have to figure out what this means, but I'm excited. My first 5.5 years here tells me that we are up to that task and that challenge, and so I want us to be excited as we start to plan what Camp in the City will look like here in Salisbury. The third recommendation of the transformation journey was to look at our long-range plan and to figure out ways to move forward. This is one that took most of this past year in 2023. We learned that about how other congregations are using their places and their spaces differently, and that we needed some fresh eyes to look at our areas and our campus. What we soon learned was if we would had followed through with the plans that we had made with the renovations in 2019, we probably would have regretted them by now in 2024. Although they solved some of the issues, they did not meet the needs that we have in 2024. On Tuesday, the building team reviewed packets of three architectural firms that we'll be interviewing at the end of this month. After a firm is chosen, we'll move into the planning stages of renovations of our church facilities, and we are going to need each and every one of your input and ideas as we do that. So as we wait for that to come, as Savannah did a great job reading the verse, that is a key piece of scripture for our building team, and one that we are constantly asking you all to do, is to pray Proverbs 16:9, which says, "People plan their path, but the Lord secures their steps." We are doing the work of planning, and we are asking everyone to pray that we are hearing God's voice in the midst of all of this. We're seeking to do something that we all will be proud of, and something that 10 to 15 years from now, they will look at and say, "That was a smart decision. Our church is so much better because of what they did." Now, we can't do that, though, unless God is leading us. And as Proverbs 16:9 says, securing our path. One more result of that third recommendation is creating something we are calling a development team. This team is working with one of our new heads of Transformation Journey, Bonnie Burkett, to go through the book, The Coming Revolution in Church and Church Economics. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? But in this book, it shows how churches have a lot of underused spaces in their buildings during the week. And it pushes us to think about ways that we can use that space to welcome people in and to help provide also money to help pay for such space. Now, I am not talking about so much supplemental income for the church that means that we do not need tithes and gifts, nothing like that. There are ways, though, that we can open up our places and spaces that can meet community needs and also add a little bit of revenue in our budgets. So think of it kind of as a church side hustle, if you would. Soccer Shots is a perfect example of this. We offered space for them in our fellowship hall every Saturday during this winter. You'll see a gaggle of kids out in the field starting, I think, next or at the end of this month. They'll be out there this time for kids who are 2 to 5 years old learning the game of soccer. But Soccer Shots, they have a paid staff, and they pay us a small fee each week to use our space. I have heard from a few families who attend that they love this program, and they're very excited that our church was open to it. Now, will this turn into a massive amount of new members? It could, but probably not. However, will we get a reputation as a church who is open to the community and having children come into our church or into our places and spaces and see that as a safe and welcoming place? I think so. And to me, that is a witness of God's love unto itself. And as we dive deeper into this process, we are praying for God to guide us and that we'll be able to see what just might be possible if we look with fresh eyes at the place that we call Milford Hills. As we are approaching now the end of our transformation journey, and if everything goes well, we will receive a certificate that we completed it at annual conference in June. But before that, we have one more recommendation to do that we need to tackle. You all have already done well by filling out the discipleship survey. We had 70 people end up filling that out, and our guide, Abby Hedgecock, was extremely excited and thrilled at that number. So thank you. We greatly appreciate it. The main thing we're looking for, though, is how can we deepen the discipleship impact of our church? But what does that mean? For many Christians, they think that once we accept Jesus into our lives and start to follow him, that our work's done. We can check that off our list. However, as United Methodists, in our theology, we believe in something called sanctifying grace. This is a grace that continues to mold us into the likeness of Christ over a lifetime. We are constantly called to build our relationship with God and to move into even deeper discipleship and relationship with God. So we will be creating a path to discipleship to show ways that we can move deeper while also looking for or trying new things like small groups or other interest groups to build relationships with each other and deepen our relationship with God at the same time. Now, one last place that God is working through us is called the Legacy Endowment. I know Vera mentioned that we are going to have a Call Charge conference, which happens right after worship, so about 11 o'clock on February 25th. And here's just a small little preview of what's going to be discussed. So we started the Legacy Endowment in 2022 with one of the checks from Steve Surratt's estate. He bequested his full estate to our congregation. The Legacy Endowment started with a check for $500,000. And soon after that, another check of $500,000 arrived in April. And so there's still another check coming. The estate hasn't been finalized, but we don't know exactly when that'll happen or how much that will be. And so we started the endowment with $1 million in our Legacy Endowment Fund, which is kept in the United Methodist Foundation of the Western North Carolina Conference. Now, if anyone follows the stock market, you know 2022 was not a great year. And we ended up losing $112,000 of that million because of the stock market. 2023 ended better, though, and we gained everything back, plus $9,000. And so the Legacy Committee thought and prayed as we met, and we realized that we're kind of prisoners of our own rules. We watched $100,000 disappear and then reappear with nothing really to show for it. And so on the 25th, they're going to be asking to take out 4% of a two-year average of the endowment to be used by the church. The plan is to do this every year. But since we're going to be dipping into the principle of the endowment at this time, it needs to be a called charge conference per our legacy endowment policy. But once again, this is just a preview. There's some more information, a lot of more details that'll be happening. Trip Callahan, the chair of the Legacy Endowment, will walk everyone through, and the whole team can answer all the questions at that meeting, which is right after worship on the 25th. So I've covered a lot about how God is moving within our church. The text I read from Luke reminds us and calls us to be the people of action. We are to plan things out. We have been doing that and will continue to sit down and calculate the cost of all these changes to determine whether we have enough money to complete it and that we aren't left with just a foundation. We have a very active teams who are very committed, filled with very committed people who are doing the hard work of planning, calculating, and looking and praying about what we should do. We are doing this because we do not want to lose our flavor. We want Milford Hills United Methodist Church to have value here and now, but also 50 years from now, 100 years from now. I truly feel like we're in the midst of a DNA change within our congregation. This is a moment in history that our church, where people will look back and tell stories about what is happening this year. When I first got here, I heard lots of stories of similar times about building the new building, which is now 15 plus years old. I heard stories of moving the picnic shelter, of building the structure for the organ, that the organ sits on with our own hands. But I truly feel like this is another one of those moments that we're living at a tipping point within the heart of our congregation. I'm telling you all this, not to brag or to gloat, but so that you all can feel the weight of what is coming in 2024. I want you to feel the weight, because to accomplish the task that God is leading us towards, we're going to need everyone to participate in. We will need everyone to come together, not only to do the work, but to pray and to give generously together to make this a reality. We need to be prayerfully asking good questions about this process, not just WIFM or what's in it for me, but how does this move us deeper into our mission and our vision as a church? How will what we decide leave a legacy for generations to come? How will this impact the life of this congregation, for this congregation to be an impact for this community and world? We're living in the stage of planning, projecting, researching, and prayer. The time is coming, and it will be soon, that we need to move from planning to action. And if we're going to have ears to hear, we cannot sit back and just wait. We need to move. We need to move forward, and we need to do. This will take physical effort. It'll take a lot of time of talking and praying and discussing ideas. And so let's take a moment to be real and transparent too. It's also going to take, I know people don't like to hear this word behind a pulpit, money. Lots of money to accomplish what God has ahead of us. And so if we're going to be the type of church that doesn't lose its saltiness, that if we're going to keep value as the body of Christ, and then we need to take, then it will take all of us working together, praying together, using our resources together to accomplish the change God is asking us to make. The good news is we don't do this alone. We have each other, and we also have the God that we worship, who promises to walk through life with us. Together with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can, as the psalmist wrote, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. So let us plan. Let us prepare. But then let us also move into action and actually do what God is calling us to do. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes talking and planning is all kinds of fun, and it's great to have these dreams, but then it's hard to take that first step. It's hard to take that first step of faith to make that plan a reality. Lord, this year I think we're going to be taking some steps forward. And may we as a church step forward with the confidence that we are doing what you are calling us to do. And so, Lord, we lay our plans at your feet. We lay our hopes and our dreams at the foot of the cross. We ask that you stir our souls, each and every one of us, so that we all can hear a unifying voice of what you are calling us to do in the future. Lord, we give you thanks that you promised to walk through this thing called life with us, and that we can walk hand in hand with you. But it doesn't mean we stand still. That means we walk forward with confidence and with faith of who you are. It is in your name we pray. Amen.